Good evening, Taryn. Welcome to KC107.7.
Good evening, Nushad, and thank you for having me in studio again. I'm loving the studio.
It's an exciting time for me to have you in studio. I think you cannot beat recording in a studio like this. So today we're going to look at the economic impact of universal access and travel. So we're going to shoot first question. What is the potential economic impact of universal access on the tourism industry?
So it's important that we understand when we speak about universal access, as we're draining, it's not just about persons with disabilities. Universal access actually affects everybody within society. And so we look at the whole stage of development from youth. We have, you know, parents with young kids right up until into the elderly, into the senior years. And so the impact on society is huge, but it's also huge in terms of tourism, because if we look at, you know, the biggest spenders or contributors to luxury tourism, for example, are now the baby boomers. And we also have then the Gen X, who focus on travel with their families. So if we look at these two biggest, you know, big contributors towards tourism as it is, we have people that is orientated around their families and people who are senior citizens or retired and who now have the money and the economic potential to travel. So it is large. I would say that it's, you know, it's really difficult to quantify, because no, we can quantify what the disability segment portion of society is, and that's more than 17%. But then we add onto that senior citizens who maybe don't qualify as being as disabled, and we add parents with young kids onto that, so we can see that number is chunks for a huge portion of society.
So I really like our conversations around universal access, and it goes far beyond just disabilities. I think when you mention, you know, parents with young kids, mm-hmm. and some accommodation facilities, some of the lodges, they don't, you know, have enough that would accommodate a family with young kids and things mm-hmm. like that. So I think universal access is so, so broad, and we're learning each time that you and I talk. The important thing is, you know, to do that, it's a learning curve. We have to educate. We have to mm-hmm. invest. Businesses want to measure return on investment mm-hmm. for accessibility improvements. How can they do that? What would they be a way to measure?
Okay, so when we look at that way, but before, just to backtrack, I just want to go into just, you know, giving some statistics from a financial point of view. If we look at just persons with disabilities and their families, and we look at the global economic spending power of persons with disabilities and their families, it is estimated to be at $13 trillion. Now, less than 10% of companies globally actively market to this segment. So we have a huge pot of money just in that one segment of universal access, just persons with disabilities. Then we look at senior citizens as well. And the stats show very much the same, that very few businesses, other than within the medical insurance, actively target or campaign to senior citizens and their needs. So if we look at, for example, one of our source markets in tourism is the USA. We look at the USA, they have a very high degree of disability. So one in four persons within the USA has classified as having a disability. And a lot of that has to do with lifestyle choices, has to do with what we have, non-communicable diseases. That's, you know, as we have strokes, diabetes, arthritis, cancer, and so forth. So when we look at that market, for example, between the year 2018 and 2019, Americans with disabilities spend $58.7 billion on travel. Now, if we were to target but 1% of that, that's an extra $587 million into our economy by already targeting the people that we are targeting. But just to have a little bit of a diversified offering, we can now tap into those markets of people who want to come here but actually are not sure how accessible South Africa is, because it already seems like such a remote place, right?
The numbers you quote are big, and I think any business person, any established tourism business would look at it and say, how do I access that? Because ultimately, that's what it's all about. It's business. So I want to ask, you've traveled a lot. You've done exhibitions. You've done conferences. Is there an example? Somebody stood up and said, I did X in terms of universal access, and this is what the positives I got out of that.
Yes, absolutely. I love the story of the Scandic Hotels, which is a Scandinavian hotel. So basically what had happened is there is that one of the employees became disabled. He was in a car accident and then he was boarded. So he was at home sitting, you know, just being paid. And then he said, you know, I feel like a terrible waste to the company. Let me at least help you in terms of your access for persons with disabilities. They then hired him within the company under a different portfolio, and he started to concentrate just on that by making sure that he spoke to disability activists, looked at the hotel, and then increased their numbers. And the GM afterwards in the report says that whereas before, the accessible room, the one or two that they had, was once in a while it would be hired. Now they had occupancy every single day, and in fact they had added way more rooms onto it because they actually saw that the amount of population actually needing these services was much greater. And so there's a case in point just of what could happen when one employee says, actually, let me see how I can take this tragedy and turn it into an economic opportunity for this company.
Taryn, you know, creating this accessibility costs money. Are there any funding or grant opportunities for local businesses?
Unfortunately, not as such. And that is one of the ways which we have to keep putting pressure on government to provide some kind of a subsidy for small businesses, you know, the same way that we did for JoJo tanks and, you know, other interventions. Businesses need to be, you know, subsidized because in some buildings, it's quite a cost to make it accessible. In other buildings, not so much. And so I think that, there definitely is much more the government needs to do. And unfortunately, no, there isn't a subsidy.
So does government policy need to align?
Yes.
I guess now that's a long path for you to walk because this is something that we're unpacking now. We're talking about universal access now. So if you have to get to government policy, that could take quite a while because that's how government works, unfortunately. But if a small or medium-sized enterprise, how can they benefit from themselves investing in universal access?
Absolutely. I always say the first thing is to speak to someone with a disability in your community, get them actively involved, you know, get a couple of people, sit around the table and say, okay, this is our premises and we want to try and, you know, get it to be accessible. What can we do? Or speak to a consultant such as ourselves at Livable. Sometimes it just depends on the site itself. Sometimes the changes that you can make is even for free. Right, within your property, like you can get a free plug-in for your website that now makes your website completely accessible without changing what the website actually looks like. It's simply a little plug-in people can press. Now more clients can actually find your business. That's number one. Second thing is that you can train your staff, have disability sensitivity training so that the staff don't feel uncomfortable when needing to interact with tourists or locals who are different. Then third, look out for little environmental checks. As I said, in the property, if there's a step, then it's not accessible. Even no matter how small the step is, it's not accessible. But sometimes an intervention like that can be as simple as building a wooden ramp with two pieces of planks you might even have on your very property. What is important, as I said, is to involve someone with a disability to come in and to try out the property, and then actually you can see as you go in around the property, maybe what you thought was accessible isn't accessible.
I like that. It's about getting people involved and actually making decisions that work rather than just doing things on your own. Taryn, always a pleasure chatting to you. I look forward to our conversation next week. You have a super week.
You too, Nishad. Take care.